Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randall. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randall's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, how are you employed?
I was a detective with Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Homicide Section. I've been a police officer for over 35 years. I was with Metro for 27 and a half. And the last 20 years, I was assigned to the Homicide Section.
And when did you retire?
Last Thursday.
So it hasn't been a week.
No.
No. You were employed at Homicide in May of 2008.
That's correct.
Over the span of your career, how many crime scenes do you think you've been to?
Six to 900.
Okay. And of those, is how many would be homicides?
Oh, homicides would have been 600 to 700 minimum.
Okay, and then crime scenes in general?
I couldn't even begin to tell you. Over 35 years, hundreds.
Okay, and prior to Homicide, where were you assigned?
When I first came to Metro, I was in patrol. From there, I went to a problem-solving unit. After that, I was assigned to the career criminal section for about a year. After that, I went to robbery for about 3 years, and then the homicide section.
Can you explain to the members of the jury how homicides are investigated, the way the rotation works amongst the detectives?
So with the Metro Police Department, we currently have 24 detectives assigned to homicide. So there's four squads, six detectives in each squad, and a sergeant. We have a lieutenant that oversees the entire section. When a call for a murder comes in, within each squad, there are three two-man teams. So the rotation just goes, if you pick up a murder this rotation, then the other two guys on the squad will pick up one the next time, and then the next time, the next two will have one.
So it's just random, sort of, once you get a case, that team goes down, and then the next team takes the next case.
That's correct.
Were you a part of the group that responded to 6517 Rancho Santa Fe Drive on May the 8th of 2008?
I was.
And do you recall approximately what time it was that you got there?
So the actual 911 call was 8:45 p.m. Now, by the time the officers secured the scene, detectives from the general assignment section or major crimes goes out there. They start to get things ready for a brief, and they call us. I believe that we got there somewhere in the area of 10 o'clock, maybe a little bit after that, p.m.
Okay. And amongst homicide detectives, wherever you happen to be at that time, you're notified of a homicide, and if it's your turn to respond, then that group then just shows up at the scene individually?
That's correct. In this case, it was my lieutenant, Lou Roberts, my sergeant, Rocky Albee, and then there was four detectives, myself, Dan Long, Dino Kelly, and my partner, Ken Hardy.
And I think you touched on this in an earlier answer, but by the time homicide is there, patrol has already responded and locked down the scene, essentially?
That's correct.
And they're responsible for putting up tape and making sure the scene isn't disturbed after they sort of clear it for safety reasons?
Yes.
When you arrived, were there any medical personnel there?
I don't believe so. They had already gone by then.
Okay. And so what was your responsibility with regard to this investigation, primarily?
So the first thing that the squad does once we arrive is we decide who's going to do what, who's going to do the crime scene investigation. In this case, that was Detective O'Kelly. And then the other detectives would be assigned various jobs, whether it's to interview witnesses, interview potential suspects. In this case, myself and Detective Hardy, my partner, were assigned to interview Thomas Randolph.
And where, do you remember where Mr. Randolph was when you responded on the 8th?
I believe he was in the back of a patrol car.
Okay. And did you approach Mr. Randolph to see if he would be willing to be interviewed or talk to yourself and Detective Hardy?
I did. Once I arrive and we get briefed, I always make it a habit to go up and talk to the people that I need to interview, just to introduce myself and my partner and let them know what's going to be going on from there on.
At that time, or either before or after that, would you walk the scene and make any observations prior to doing the interview?
Yes.
And did you do that in this case?
We did.
How long do you spend on that initial walkthrough?
So prior to doing the walkthrough, I believe I met with Mr. Randolph and obtained his consent to search his residence and explained to him what I was looking for and what I needed his consent to seize.
And he consented to the search?
He did.
Okay. And so then you walked the scene with other detectives?
Yes.
And what were your observations just generally of the scene?
So just looking at the front door, I didn't notice any obvious signs of forced entry into the residence. When I got inside, there didn't appear to be any ransacking in the living room area. We walked back into the hallway, which runs north and south between the garage and then the master bedroom, which was on the south side of the house. And I noticed lying in the hallway in a supine or face-up position was a white female victim who was bleeding. Her head was closest to the entryway to the master bedroom, and she was lying on the tiled floor between what would later be identified as a music room and then the bathroom. And then as I walked out toward the garage on the north side of that hallway, there was an African-American male who was lying on his right side against a refrigerator in that garage area.
Okay. And so you would have walked through the scene, made those observations, and then at some point after that, do you and Detective Hardy meet with Mr. Randolph at homicide?
We do.
Okay. And is he taken there by you or by patrol, or do you remember?
I don't recall if we gave him a ride to the office. I know we gave him a ride from the office back to his residence, but he may have been taken to the office by patrolmen. I don't remember.
Okay. And when you get to the homicide offices, it's just yourself and Detective Hardy who interview him at first?
That's correct.
And do you remember approximately what time it was the interview may have started, or would it be time stamped on the...
It will be on the video. It should also be on the audio. But I know that if I obtained consent to search his house at approximately 11 p.m., that it would have probably been close to midnight, maybe a few moments after midnight into the morning of the 9th.
Okay. When he was doing this interview with you, sort of from the 8th into the 9th, was he in custody or was he free to leave?
He was not in custody. He could end the interview whenever he wanted. He was not read Miranda because at that point, he was not a suspect. He was merely the relative of one of the victims, the female victim.
Okay. And Your Honor, Detective, I should ask you first. That interview was recorded?
It was.
And transcribed?
Yes.
Your Honor, that interview is memorialized in State's Proposed 314, which I move to admit and publish now.
No objection. Any objection to 314?
No, Your Honor.
A314 will be admitted and can be filed.
This is my bar. Tell us anything else about him that might help us figure out who he is, where he lives, car he drives.
He doesn't drive a car. I don't think he has a license. I think he has a suspended or revoked or something. He rides a bike, different bikes to the house when he works, usually around picking up, dropping off. He lives in those apartments. Play a golf course. Freeway and you turn a light.
Do you know which apartment? I'm going to take it back home. Can you bring it again?
I don't know the numbers on here.
Okay.
Which I talk to his aunt and uncle all the time. They seem real nice. Just on the phone. I've met his uncle a couple of times.
Do you know their phone number?
Not a fan, but it's on one of the phones.
Okay. What's your home number, Tom?
It's still on the old number, and the number's still on the computer desk. It's just been that recent. So we haven't got it in our hands yet.
Do you have a cell number?
Yeah, it's
And did your wife have her own cell?
Yeah.
What was that number?
I don't know. It's on my cell phone. I just call it. Actually, tonight, my cell phone, I guess I left it in the kitchen or somewhere because I didn't have it, but she called me and told me she was about ready to go from the, you know, end of the casino. She had lost or was looking for me or whatever.
What time did you guys leave the house this evening?
Just probably right around 6, a few minutes after, because she called me just as I was up the street and told me to hurry up, we're going to be late. She said, I asked if everything was ready, the kids was ready, because we had to drop one of the, our grandson off.
So the grandson was staying at the house?
He came over to swim after school. He's autistic. And if he does good at school, that's kind of his reward.
Oh. And what's his name?
Nicholas.
Last name?
It's some Italian name, but Bayer is my stepdaughter's name, my married name.
And where did you drop Nicholas off at?
At his mom's. I just stayed in the car sharing with him. Something about the Thomas, the other baby, he puked on the couch and couldn't get the carpet cleaner that we took over to work or something.
What's your daughter's name again?
My daughter's name.
And where are you dropping Nicholas off?
Sharon's daughter, Colleen, C-O-L-L-E-E-N, Byer, B-E-Y-E-R.
And where did you drop Nicholas off at? Where's Colleen live? Roughly.
Severance, does that make Elkhorn or Severance or something like that? It's on the other side of 215 if you go to Jones.
And then, so you left the house around 6, take Nicholas off, drop him off at Colleen's, and then what time did you leave Colleen's house? Approximately.
5 minutes later. If you didn't have 2-3 minutes.
And where'd you go then?
To the charcoal steak room, or whatever it's called, the steakhouse at, excuse me, the Santa Fe. Chicken and lobster for her Mother's Day.
Just driving time then from Colleen's to Santa Fe, or just stop somewhere else?
No, just straight train.
What time did you leave the Santa Fe?
David, I think we got gas. I think we got gas on the way. I can't remember. Yeah, we did. We got gas just around the corner at that mobile. Because we're leaving early in the morning, as she said, the gas would go up there, which probably will.
And that's the mobile station by Santa Fe? Or up by Colleen's?
No, it's by our house there. When you go around that corner, I think it's a mobile station. It's somewhere.
And then you went to the charcoal room. What time did you leave there?
Just a few minutes before the 911 thing, you know, as long as it took to get there and get in. And maybe a few minutes, because to be honest, I was kind of scared to go in the other room to get the phone and stuff, so I kind of in and out, you know, looking and trying to see if I can't hear, so I thought I heard somebody in the other room, but I started to figure this is my mind getting away with me. Just
okay. Mike, the first time came about 4 months ago?
Yeah, 4 months ago.
And that was a convenience store where?
Over by the where he lives, Santa Fe, and it might have been Terrible's on by Wells Fargo. I can't remember for sure. It's just me. And he left, and I turned around. I was getting the car to wash it. Then I turned around and said, "Walk," and so offered him a ride.
And when was the last time that you saw Mike, other than
this afternoon? We started to work on tomorrow.
What time? Did he come over?
Yeah, he came over.
You didn't pick him up?
No.
How did he get to your house?
I thought he rode his bike, but I don't know. He was just at the door. He was going to look at jet skis and stuff today, and just kind of think actually he was going to work a little bit in the backyard, but I just got tired from the drive and all the shit going on in Utah. That my dad had a stroke and lung surgery and stuff, so.
What time did he come over today?
3:30 maybe. Yeah, sure, I said Nicholas would be there at 4, so I got to get ready and go do what I was going to do.
When he came over this afternoon, what was he wearing?
He always wears just kind of baggy, old, beat-up clothes. So I really don't know.
Okay. So he comes over around 3:30. Did you guys go to look at jet skis?
Yeah.
What time did you leave the house?
Probably a little after 4. I took a shower and stuff, but ready to go.
And where did you go?
Jet skis this weekend. I was going to go check one out. see if it beat my back too bad. If it did, then maybe buy a lunch or someone to get some.
What time did you get back home?
Just within minutes of six.
And was Mike with you when you got back home?
No, I dropped him off at the... There's a gas station, not a gas station. He was coming back and just wanted to go to his girlfriend's, but he didn't have time to do that up by where all the dopers hang out, the casino, one of the station casinos, but there's a hotel up there. Fiesta,
yeah.
Texas.
There's the Texas, the Fiesta, and then right across the street is like a budget suite.
Okay, yeah, that's where he wanted to go, was up there. He says he could get a ride from there, and I just told him I didn't have time to take him that far. And he said, let's go, just catch the bus. There's one over by a car wash. And I just pulled him and got out, and that was it. I just ran him home. And I'm assuming he walked over and got it. You know, there's a bus thing over there, so I'm assuming he's not too far from there. It's probably where he went, but I don't know.
Did he have a key to the house?
Not that he did at one time, but not to my knowledge, he didn't.
You said he did at one time. Did you have a box changed?
No, what happened is we had a bunch of keys here, and all these damn keys in the wall, and they didn't fix nothing. I mean, they didn't fix it. And the mailbox key broke, so where the mailbox broke, and the mailman told us they just leave it open, we could buy a new lock and save $50. So we had a bunch of old keys like that. And I had a bunch of old keys just from different houses, but we went through, they didn't fit nothing, so I put a bunch of them away. And he said he found one and gave it to us, and I threw it up on the, before we left, he said, yeah, I had found the key, and it wasn't his. And he said, well, I didn't say it was ours, he just said he found the key, and I said, well, bring it over, it might be the one I lost for the board. So we got two made. We got a bunch made, but they didn't work. They're not quite long enough. And we keep it for the kids in the swimming pool. We're afraid they'll get in it. So it's got one of the double, you gotta have a key for both sides. So when they're there, we take it out and lay it up on top of the light there. But Nicholas is, even though he's autistic, he's getting pretty smart. So we got another one, and I get this to ship too. And a lot of times I'll just leave it in my pocket, I'll forget it. Leave it in the door of the shed. But he said he had found one. And I know we have two because we quite often we can't open the shed over because we can't find the fucking key. And it's because one of us put it. Sharon is just really forgetful, she is. But
when was that? Did you get it back to you?
Before we left.
Today?
No, before we left for Utah. Over a week ago or so. And I insisted that he bring it over. And he brought it over. He said he'd come get it right now if you want, but it was like late at night. He's messing up his spring over in the morning. Let me see if it fits. And he brought it over. And it fit. Wanted nobody to borrow some money and told him I just didn't have any, which wasn't true. I did, but he just getting further and further in debt. At first, he was good about borrowing and paying it back.
How much did he owe you?
$300-$400 maybe. But he's just got his, well, I'm assuming he just did, because like I said, I don't know. He had, was taking the class for masonry, it would come up. Was journeyman or something, union, to become in the union. And he would go to work and stuff down there, and actually show them a piece of paper that says report on such and such day to get your card. And he said once he got his card, he'd be making some good money, so he was going to put some brick in the back because they're building new houses back behind our house, and shared his rooms naked, which wasn't a problem until the house next door sold, and then they started building those, so he was going to put the brick in for us. And so I loaned him a little money and, you know, figured he'd just come off the brick at the end. And he works. And he goes over our house all the time. And he's a really always working. I mean, he's not very good at what he does, but he's there. You can usually, if he says he'll be there at 10, he'll be there at 10 to work and stuff. And it's just been easier.
So who knew that?
I'm paranoid about the Mexicans hiring these Mexicans to move in and out, move things around, and you know, to work in the house. And like I said, I like him. He's like a really nice guy. You know, he talked a lot of gang shit and stuff, but, you know, from other states, Florida, and wherever he's from. And I think he has some warrants out, but I don't know.
So who knew you were going out this evening?
Colleen, Mike, everybody that Sharon's a phone bug to, everybody that talked on the phone, you know, I'm sure she told them. But nobody that was in our house that she talked on the phone was there.
All right, what I want to do is just take a tape statement so that we can get all this transcribed and have it for the report. All right, we'll just cover basically what we just talked about, how long you've known Mike, how you met him, and then we'll go into what happened this evening. Operators, Detective Seabon, PM 50096, conducting witness interview under number 0805-08-3131. Name of the person given the statement, last name is Randolph, R-A-N-D-O-L-P-H, first name Thomas, middle name Williams, white male, DOB is social security numbers. His home address is 6517 Rancho Santa Fe. Las Vegas, Nevada, 89130. His home phone number is... His cell phone number is... Interview is being conducted at the IST building on 4908 at 0029 hours. Present are myself, Detective Harding, P number 3031, and Thomas Randolph. Thomas, do you understand the statement is being recorded?
Yes.
You understand that we're wanting to talk to you about the incidents leading up to what happened in your house this evening?
Yes.
All right. You had told us that you had employed a person by the name of Mike. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you describe Mike for us and any names that you know him by?
Just Mike. Michael. I think his last name's Miller or Milner or something like that.
How old is he?
He said he was 38, but I don't know how old he is for sure. He's got a bunch of kids, and according to their ages, that would be about right, probably 38.
And do you know where he lives?
Sort of. He lives in the condos down by Ann Street. I don't know exactly how know which one it is. I don't know the number.
Okay. And do you know a phone number that you could reach him by?
Yeah, I don't know it by heart, but it's on the phone somewhere. We talk on the phone 10, 15 times a day. Or now not that, maybe 5 times a day. Just, you know, the jazz boss. I'm a jazz fan, so I owe you a dollar. That type of thing.
Does he have a vehicle that he drives?
No.
How does he get around?
Mostly with bicycle, but he borrows his, I think it's his uncle he lives with, his their cars once in a great while. I know there's a lot of, he says there's a lot of rift at the house about, you know, getting a job and getting money, and he was talking about moving out or getting kicked out, and they don't let him borrow the cars to get to work, but bitch about him not working, and
do you know who he lives with?
I think it's his aunt and his uncle.
And when he did drive a car, what kind of car was he driving?
A couple of times he's been in, I believe, his aunt's car, which was a like maybe a wrap or something like that, dark colored, like blue, black, something like that.
And what about his bicycle? Does he have one bike that he rides?
No, there's always seems like there's a different one. Seems like there's two or three of them, but.
When he would come over to your house, where would he park his bike?
Usually in the back, but off the, somebody would steal it off the. He used to chain it to the gas meter, but that was kind of tacky, so I just had him bring it in the fence. And set it inside the cement bolt gate on the one that we get opened by hand.
And how long have you known Mike?
4 or 5 months, maybe.
And does Mike have any tattoos that you know of? What's his hairstyle like?
It's real short.
Is it short or is it bald?
I'd say it's just like nothing. It's just short. There's a name for it.
That's, a fade?
Like, pardon me?
A fade?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Sharon, no, she's a hairdresser, but.
So you've known him 4 or 5 months. How did you meet him?
At a convenience store, I said, they're getting my car. It was a terrible since I was getting my car washed and sweating. And over by Walmart on Ann, I don't know the cross street.
Okay.
But, you know, where they wash it and they detail it for you. And I was just in there just waiting, and he was in line before me getting a beer, and it was like he had been doing, you know, manual labor, because he was all dirty and stuff, but there were strictly people in line, and he just kind of joked, and said, this lady, she's been asking for ID. She goes every time I come here, every day I'm buying beer, but she always asks me for ID, and so now today I don't have it or something. Anyway, so I said, well, don't worry, I'll just get it for you. So I just paid for the beer, and I just didn't get it for this, you know. And he said, no, that was yours. I didn't miss it. That's the kind I want or something. So I ended up getting both of them, but I don't drink very much because of the illness and stuff. But just chit-chatted there, and he took off, and I got my car done. I was going toward the house, and I see him along there. Just pulled over and said, hey, need a ride? You on my way? And sure. So I was at this, popped in, and sat over in front of his house the first day for probably an hour. We just talked. I mean, I've been telling Sharon, I need to get out and find some man friends, you know, just sitting around the house, laying around the house all the time. It's just making me lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And had a couple, but they just didn't. You know, one of the dope that I'd met, and the other was always very anybody, and I just can't do that, or just come back too much, so I just haven't had a lot of. Sharon used to want us to meet her old friends that don't interact with her much anymore, but just haven't met any of them, and haven't been over, so.
And so you just meet Mike at this convenience store, and you strike up a conversation, and how does it come that he comes over to your house and starts doing work?
He says he does a lot of work. I was asking him what he does, and he says he's working to be a carpenter, to be a cement man, lay concrete or whatever, to be an apprentice. He was going to school, or getting into school for that. He hadn't got in yet, but he just works part-time, and they just asked him, what do you do? And he said, I just do whatever I can to get money, because he works with his uncle, so he said, at nights at the airport, cleaning up the airport or something like that. And then he told me about Area 51. They really fly people out there every day. He's seen it or something. And
so do you engage him to come over to the house then and do some work for you?
I talked about doing something. Excuse me, and he says, "My guy, I'll help you if you need some help. I ain't got nothing else to do." And I called him and asked him if he really wanted to work. And he said, "Yeah, he'd come over." And I said, "He's not good at what he does, but he's a good worker. He works consistently. And it's not like going down and getting a couple of Hispanics on the corner."
So, how often has he come over to your house and go to work?
A lot. a lot. He's also come over a lot just to watch ball games, and he's ate dinner with us two or three times. He's went over to Collins and done work over there at her house. I think just once over there. But he goes with us once in a while out, like to the clubs or, you know, to the Santa Fe. But we sort of was having a problem there. He was like calling every day and wanted to borrow just a couple of bucks. And just, you know, I told him I just can't keep doing that. So,
so how much money has he borrowed from you since you met him? How much does he owe you?
I don't know, $200-$300 probably down, but he paid, I mean, you know, he said he paid a lot of it back at the beginning. He'd borrow 20 and pay back 20, what he said, and borrow 50 and pay back 40, and then a few things happened. And,
what happened?
He got his check, and he actually showed me the check, and they garnished his wages for child support. So he did have a bit of money, so I loaned him a couple hundred bucks that time. Sharon was getting on me about that, bitching about him always wanting money. So she was, and then also just pop in, and I like my privacy. I told you, you know, if you call and we don't answer, don't come over, because I'm in bed a lot. I'm sick. I mean, I got this thing, but I also got hepatitis. And then I went to the Channel Lane thing for upper GI, and they gave me some more shit to make me sick, so I've been pretty sick lately. Been in bed a lot, like weeks at a time. But he's came over a few times, even when I was, Sharon's called him to have him come over and do plans and stuff. A couple times I wasn't there, and maybe one time I wasn't there. It's been a couple times that, you know, told him, let's do this tomorrow, let's work on the shed or whatever, and just on my eye. Can't do it today, I don't feel well, or whatever, or he'll show up and I don't feel well, and he'll go ahead and, you know, plant some plants, cover up some trenches, whatever.
Has there ever been a problem with him, a falling out or anything, where he got upset or you got upset at him?
No, not really. A couple of times, and it's, I think, because I said something to Sharon about, I thought he was kind of pissy that he was leaving for a week, and my dad just had a stroke, and that he was but also he said he had the key that he didn't say bye to me, because he'd asked me to borrow some money, and I told him I just couldn't do it. And we was at the casino eating and playing the slots. They were like, go to Cabo, Sharon does.
You said he had a key.
This is when he supposedly had the key to the house, and he found the key.
And when was this again?
Probably close to 2 weeks ago. Yeah. But it turned out that I talked to him the next day, because I asked him, I said, what the fuck, you know, was something going on at home? You didn't even tell me why or anything, you know, I'll be gone for a week. He says, no, I did. You were busy feeding your face. You had your face in the tacos. And yes. Went over and said bye to Sharon, but I didn't hear it because I'm deaf. And that's what she says, well, I'm sure he said bye to you. He didn't even catch it.
This key that he had. What was that to?
The back door.
We're talking about the double back doors.
I think it's to everything except like maybe the lower lock on the front door. Seems like that jammed or something. We had to put a different lock on it.
Okay. Anything else about Mike other than what you've already told us?
No, I really liked the guy of any kind. I must be a pest about borrowing money and stuff.
Did he ever tell you about anything that he had been arrested for?
Child support. I think he just got arrested for child support not too long ago. Because his brother, matter of fact, his uncle called me when I was in Utah. They didn't realize I was in Utah. And when I went to see Mike, he hadn't seen him for a day or two. I told him I hadn't seen him, but when I did, I gave him a message, and Mike called either the next day or the day after that. And I told him that his uncle's looking for him, and he's probably in trouble. And he said he'd been in jail, something happened at that, what you said earlier, that motel, 6 budget motel or motel 6. So what she said,
Sergeant Sweet's
on the same thing. He said something about he was at the Fiesta, and I got on a bus or something. When they stopped the bus, the cops did, and pulled everybody off of it, and some got her in a shooting, and they ran warrants, and he had a child support warrant or something.
Have you ever seen Mike with a gun?
No, just started out to move to shoot a couple of times, and actually went up to, got the car loaded up, and went up to shoot, and there was where we was going to shoot. We're not sure where to shoot at around here, but we got a map from BLM, and the best thing you figure, we was at the right place, but there was...
Did you know where your guns were inside your house?
Yeah, some of them.
Okay, which guns did you know the location of inside your house?
Well, I always lay my gun, but it's a gun I'm going to carry, because I carry mine, you know, a lot when I go out, but...
Did you know the location of any of the revolvers?
Yeah.
Which one?
The 38 for sure, because he actually, it's a clock, it's a fake clock in the drum room, and it's the paint on it. Sharon went to paint it, took some of the little holes out of the ball. I guess she put it on to paint it, and she's blind in one eye, so she gets hurt. I guess both eyes, she gets a disability, I think, for something to do with her eyes.
So you have, the 38 was in the clock?
Yeah, it's Sharon's, it's a gun, you know, it's like a gun safe clock. But he was talking about, well, I could paint this here and paint this here, and it looks bad, it really does. I don't know if the paint was old or not shaken up, or Sharon just didn't get the colors, but you can definitely see two colors of paint.
Is that on the wall?
It's on the wall. And that's where the 38 was at.
So he knew where that one was?
Yeah, well, he just knew that one because he actually reached up to show me where he had painted and then pulled off the wall and fell down. So, yeah.
Did you know where any of your other guns were kept?
One's like mine is up in the attic, just sort of keep everything up in the attic just close. But those are my guns that I just bring back and forth.
Mike knew where that was?
Yeah.
When you say up in the attic, where at inside the house?
It's not in the house, they're in the garage. There's a, well, I put flooring in the garage and we store stuff in there. There's just between Sharon and I, we got too much stuff in the, all of our houses to put in one, so.
So these guns are up in the attic?
Yeah. There's a couple of
them. A little access?
Yeah.
Door up there?
Yeah.
Did you know where any other guns were inside your house?
I don't know for sure.
Did you keep these guns loaded?
Yeah. The guns are all loaded.
What about any valuables inside the house that you knew? Did he know where you kept jewelry and money and things like that?
As far as I know, you don't really go in our bedroom. But I'm not trusted the guy. I trust him explicitly, or I did, you know. But when he wanted to borrow money and share, and I knew, you know, it wasn't quite an idea, you know, even $40 or something, usually be in my drum room.
Did you know where you kept it in there?
Well, I just kind of keep it in my pocket, but I just throw it up on either the top drawer or just on top of the dresser when I go to our rolled up in my pants when I go to bed at night, so they're just usually with me, but I just step in there out of the way, so I have a little bit of privacy, but...
So, moving forward to today, have you had any problems with anybody breaking into your house in the past?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
The neighbors have for sure. We had, I've had some tools and stuff taken from the back, and once Sharon left the garage door open, some stuff was taken. We've had the cars broken into or written on, you know, kids writing shit on them. A couple of radar detectors once or twice, stereo.
Is this just been random stuff, or? Has it seemed to increase since you knew Mike?
No, I think it was mostly before Mike. I don't.
Okay.
Well, some hand tools I'm missing, and I just can't find them. And I swear, I told Sharon, I know the Mexicans took them up, was helping unload stuff, but she said, you know, where would they put them? You drive them there and pick them up, and it makes sense. And what I look for them, and I put stuff places and then forget where I put them, you know. Just
today, did Mike come over today?
Yes.
About what time?
3:30-ish.
And the reason why he came over was what?
Well, he was actually going to finish putting trim on the porch on the back. It was leaking. Tore it off and put some shingles on. I couldn't lift it or anything. I kind of supervised him while he did it.
So what time did he come over?
About 3:30 today, but I talked to him a couple times in the morning and just told him I'm not getting up. First time I've slept in days.
So he gets over there about 3:30.
Uh-huh.
How did he get there?
I don't know for sure. I assumed he rode his bike, but I didn't see his bike. I didn't answer the door. Sharon did.
So he came inside, and did you guys go somewhere?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I was going to go to the bank, and I missed the... We started bullshit and talking about the chick he was with last night, his girlfriend, and started talking about his girlfriend. I wasn't paying attention, and I just plain missed the road that I should have went to. And,
so where did you guys end up going?
I took the exit that goes by the hospital, and I should have took the one before, I think. So we just kind of drove around the circle there. And then Sharon already told us if we don't get going, you know, I'm not going to see we're going to be late. So I wanted to go. He wanted to go somewhere. He wanted to go. He wanted to take him to the Texas and stuff up by his girlfriend's.
Did you go to jet ski dealer?
Yes. Went and looked at the jet skis because that's what I told him. I'm taking some money out of the bank and just looking to buy jet skis.
Where did you go?
Went to the Kawasaki place. And he looked at a black motorcycle.
And this is the one down on Rancho?
Yeah.
And how long were you there?
Probably 45 minutes. I finally said, we gotta go, we're gonna be late, so.
What time do you think you left there?
15 to 6, maybe.
Okay. And where did you go after you left the jet ski dealers?
Well, the first thing is we walked across, we parked over by the Honda place, and we kind of walked over there and just looked around. Just we stood on our side by the car there, we just looked through them and pointed out different jet skis and stuff that was there. And talked about that I had shot there once before and looked, and he said, they'll give you a better price because they're next door. So we
left there.
Left there, and once you come, that's when he wanted me to take him up by the Texan. And I told him I couldn't, and we just went down that way because I was just taking him back to my house because I really thought he had his bike or something.
So you went up Rancho.
Went to Rancho, and then I turned, he says, there's this a car wash back there by the bus stop, and I didn't get a ride there or something. And I don't really know where I was at. I just flipped around and went back, but it's not very far up the road from Rancho.
You said that was up by the Santa Fe and the Texas, up by the casinos?
Yeah, it's between those two. It's somewhere there. So
you dropped him off there?
Dropped him off, and I said he got out, and I actually went by and flipped around to come back because I didn't see where he left from there. I think he went to the liquor store.
Where'd you go then?
I went home.
And you get home about what time?
5:06, 6:05. I mean, just within minutes. Sharon was calling right as I was turning into the subdivision to let me know we're going to be late if we don't hurry.
And so what happened next?
Grab the stuff when we left. Just all I did was grab my brief basic care with my medicine in it.
And you told me that you and Sharon had taken your grandson Nicholas back to her daughter.
Right. I asked her if everything was ready because it was running late. And she says, we're going to be late if you don't hurry. And I said, I'm ready. All we got to do is just lock up and go. So is everything ready? And she says, yeah. So I assumed everything was locked up and Nicholas was ready.
When you leave the house, do you normally lock all the doors?
Yeah.
the back door is normally locked?
Yes.
And so you load up Nicholas, you drop him off at Colleen's, and then you go to the Santa Fe to the charcoal room.
Right.
And how long were you there?
From as long as it takes to get there until about when I called 911.
And who knew you were going to the charcoal room this evening?
Everybody Sharon talked to on the phone, which would be all of her friends. Colleen.
Did Mike know?
Yeah, Mike did know.
Did he know what time you were supposed to be there for dinner?
Yeah, actually, because like I said, she had called and we had reservations, and she'd already told us to hurry back and make sure it wasn't late, and he was there when we was.
All right, and did you receive any calls from Mike while you were at the Santa Fe dinner?
No.
Did anybody else join you?
No.
And so you left the Santa Fe, did you go directly home?
No, we went over to the Cabo Bar and played, had a couple of drinks, and played video poker, and then Sharon went over to a different part of the place and played video poker until she lost all her money. Then we went home.
And during the time you were there, did you talk to Mike on the phone at all?
No.
And you leave the Cabo Bar, you go directly home?
No, then we went to another section she was playing at. I went to the bathroom and came back because she had, I cashed out some money and she was still playing. And
when you leave the casino, do you go directly home?
No, we started to, and then we went to Funny's, so it's called Funny's Gas Station on the corner there. There's, anyway, there's a gas station there, not just around the corner. And she said, we better get gas now because it's going to go up tonight because of the weekend, over the weekend. So we stopped and filled up with gas, and I think that was it. And we went home.
And what were you driving this evening?
The Hyundai.
The SUV?
Yeah.
So you go home, and when you arrive at the house, tell me everything that happens.
I pull up into the driveway, and we have to stop because we can't get too much shit in the garage, but can't get both cars in because there's racks on each side of the wall, so we always have to do this. One of us has to get out. The passenger has to get out and go in.
And so she was the passenger?
Yeah, she was the passenger tonight, carrying the food.
And what was she carrying?
I know my steak. I don't remember if there was something off her plate that was left or not. They boxed up, but...
Was it in a bag?
Yeah.
What else was she carrying?
I think she had her purse, because I know she spilled some stuff.
So you let her out. Did she get out in the driveway or in front of the house?
She got out in the driveway. Actually, she got out really before I stopped. I was going to pull up a little bit further, but it's kind of a little hump there.
So she gets out of the car. Uh-huh. Did you notice any strange vehicles parked in front of the house?
No, our next door neighbor just moved in. He's got 30 cars there, so he does. So there's always, not his, I mean, he's got so many, and then the next door neighbors.
Did you notice whether or not Mike's bike was parked anywhere around here?
No, I didn't look for anything like that.
When Sharon got out of the car and went into the house, which door did she go through?
The big garage door, and then just the regular door that gets down the hallway to get into the house.
So she went through the door from the garage?
Yes, through the garage door.
Okay. And did you hear anything?
Didn't I have the radio on, or she had the radio on? That's pretty loud because I don't hear. I'm deaf in the ear, and as soon as she got in far enough that I could start pulling in, and it's just really close. I'm going real slow and got up there, and then pushed the garage door, and it came down, and it actually got too close to my car. And I was having a hell of a time to get down. I had to push the mirror in a little bit to give me a little room to get out. And I started to go over to get my bag that the seat was left, and I folded the seat down to kind of hide it at the bar so you don't get into it.
And this was your bag that was in the back seat of the SUV?
Yeah. Okay. And just went in the door, and when I walked in, we just got the little teeny hall light on. I mean, you could see pretty good.
I see. You went from the garage to the house through the garage door?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it took a few minutes because I always let the garage door and make sure it comes down.
When you were out of the truck, did you hear anything inside the house?
Didn't hear anything.
And you enter the house, and what do you see?
Sure, laying on the floor, just laying face down right in front of the bedroom and right in front of the bathroom and the music room, my drum room.
Okay.
She was just laying face down, not moving.
Was she laying on her stomach or was she laying on her side?
She was laying on her stomach, and I don't know again if this is just hype, if I'm hearing things, if I've spooked what, but I thought that I heard something just as I was just opening the door, like voices, you know, like somebody talking.
Did it sound familiar?
No, it was just, you know, it may just be my imagination, something like someone at the door, something, you know, and I wouldn't swear that I actually heard that. And like you see things out of the corner of your eye, I just looked up and I was looking like, what are you doing on the floor? And I thought she felt because she has trouble with her hip. And it was like, almost like somebody jumped across type thing, or maybe was here and stuck their head up and went back like that type thing. But
from where to where?
Either from the bathroom, if they jumped over into across Sharon into the other room.
Yeah.
But I didn't see that.
The other room would be the music room?
Yeah, it'd be the music room. Or was in the music room and just coming out and dug back in when they heard the door or whatever. But I didn't actually see it. I didn't say a thing. It was just kind of like, I mean, just the spots just see out of the corner of your eye. And I seen Sharon, I yelled Sharon, and she didn't say anything. And I thought I seen blood, but it was the bag that I realized I seen now. But
where was the bag?
Right up close to him, right by her body, right up close to her. But she might have been laying on the edge of it. But she wasn't moving. And I just stood there kind of for a second trying to see if she answered or whatever. And I started to go toward her, and then all of a sudden I got spooked. And I was just right by the door anyway, and I just had to step back in and grab the gun because I keep one in the shoe rack right there.
Shoe rack where?
In the closet. There's a...
This is, let me draw this here. This is the garage. This is the door leading into the hallway. And then your music room is
over here. Wait for you, yeah.
The music room's there, bathroom's over here, and the master bedroom is down here on the end.
Yeah, but there's a washer dryer with two double slider door, not slider doors, but
right
bifolds,
here.
Right as you come in. So there's a washer dryer there.
On this side.
Right, and then there's another room in here.
Okay.
And then right in that closet, there's a shoe rack. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
There's another bedroom right there.
There's a bedroom back in here, behind here.
Okay.
And that's actually an office.
Okay. And so this would be, as you come in through the door from the garage into the house, this would be on your left-hand side.
Right.
Okay. So you go into that room.
And that room, we just grabbed a gun, had a gun and a clip, and I had a couple more clips up on the top, but in a...
Which gun was this that you grabbed?
The Makarov, I think, is the one I had in there. The gun I had. The gun that I shot mine with. But
is it loaded?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Yeah. So you go into that room, you grab the gun, and then...
And clips, there's a clip by it, and as I come out, he was running, not running really per se, but right down the hall. I mean, just, I was actually in the room, and he came in, and kind of, we bumped into each other, and he had his, had the mask down, but it, like, it wasn't on, you could tell he was black, because it wasn't all the way down, it was, like, maybe you could hear or something, like, maybe you pushed it up, but I mean, you ran right into each other, and I realized now, like, I don't know if I hit the door jam or hit his head.
This mask that you're describing, what was that?
It, just a dark a black or a dark blue, maybe. I call it a ski mask.
And did you have that pulled all the way down over his head?
No, it was about, looked like it had been rolled up once. Like just once.
Maybe. So above his nose, below his nose?
Probably right below his nose, yeah.
Okay.
But, and I know that when we hit, that, well, we kind of scuffled, really, because he actually had the gun in his, had a, I don't know if he had it inside, like a sweatshirt thing. I don't know if he had it in the pocket of there or down in his pants or he had it there or what, but we kind of was scuffling a little bit, and he said something. I don't know what he said for sure.
Did you recognize the voice?
No. It surprised me he was there, and just, you know, went into the fight or flight mode.
Where did the scuffle take place? In the hallway or in the bedroom?
Both. Because I was in the bedroom. And had grabbed the gun and stuck the clip in the pocket and was coming out, and we just kind of hit right at the door when he was coming in. And we just kind of got up there together, and he was doing something down here.
And when you say he was doing something down here, you're indicating that he's reaching into the front of his pants or the front of his shirt?
Something down there. Or he may have already had his hand down there, and that's just when I noticed it. But
did you see the gun?
Later I did. I didn't see it right at that particular time.
Okay. So you guys bump into each other in the doorway, you're scuffling, and what happens?
We just kind of bumped, and he was kind of, I don't know if he was fighting really, but I was just kind of trying to get some space because he kind of surprised me, but I was just kind of trying to push back and pulling the gun down because I had it beside me because I was going to look around the corner and see what was going on.
Which hand did you have your gun in?
Right hand. So I grabbed the gun at the same time, put the clip, just like a motion, set the clip in my back pocket so it was clear. And
so you were clearing space from him?
Clearing space from him, and just a few inches of my shot. I started shooting him just as soon as I got a little bit of room. And one of those, he went back, returned around, and that's when I did see that he has a gun in his hand. It turned out to be the revolver, but I didn't know for sure what it was. But
which gun did he have?
I don't know.
You said it was a revolver?
Yes, revolver.
Which hand did he have in it?
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.